Back in on Canuck Central, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Canuck Central this hour brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. We just heard from Frank Saravalli. This text coming in. What happened to the Abbotsford Canucks pregame show? Well, we will give a little bit of an Abbey preview coming up just in a few moments with Landon Ferraro and Brandon Astell taking over at 4 o'clock for the full live broadcast starting at 4 with Abbey's second chance to clinch the title tonight.
Big chance. Huge opportunity for Abbey.
At the Bojangles in what is a very hot Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Yeah, it's the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest being the conversation we just had with Frank Saravalli, because there was a lot there. Given what Frank had to say about the Canucks negotiations with Minnesota and Marco Rossi and how that hasn't been enough to get a deal done, but they've also continued to talk with the Buffalo Sabres about J.J. Paterka and Bowen Byram. The Canucks proposal compared to other teams would be a bigger one that includes Bowen Byram, and that definitely gets the gears turning in my headset of like, okay, that seems like it would be a big deal and obviously would be considered the blockbuster type if it were to actually get consummated.
Yeah, and part of me wonders, is this just a new version of Cousins and Byram for Pettersson? Elias Pettersson, that is?
Well, I guess it could be. But then, like, when I think of that option, then I wonder, okay, well, what are the Canucks doing through the middle of the ice?
Well, of course. And we know, as we talked about, trying to move the 15th overall pick, even for guys like Rossi, has proved challenging, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if Minnesota doesn't value the 15th overall pick, it's like, yeah, it might be the 15th overall pick. And in a lot of years, that seems like a pretty good asset to be trading. But this year, it's not quite that.
And you know what? We'll circle back to the 15th overall pick and what that is in a second. But on this front here with Buffalo, so if it's not Pettersson, and again, to your point, if you're trading Pettersson, it opens up a hole down the middle. And as much as you like Hugh Suter, do you really want to go with Suter and Hedel?
As your top two centers?
And then go and sign, you know, whatever, Faxa type. Like
Aturatu is slated into a big role. Like,
doesn't look like a championship caliber center, you know, group, right? So I don't know. And if you're not doing him, I don't know if 15th overall in Vilander gets you both those guys, even.
Yeah.
Even if you do Lekromäki and Vilander, I don't think you get both those guys for that.
Because
right?
The 15th overall pick, does it mean a ton to Buffalo? Again, you know, they've got a lot of picks and prospects already. So it probably has some value, but doesn't have a ton of value for Buffalo. Buffalo wouldn't look at that as being the centerpiece in a return for a trade of J.J. Paterka and Bowen Byram. So I'm just led to, through the process of elimination, the only player, if I look at the Canucks roster through a Buffalo lens, like I'm Kevin Adams, and I'm like, okay, so the Canucks want this and this. What would I want from the Canucks roster to even make this remote sense for me? And the main name that comes up is Filip Hronek.
Right.
They've got Dahlin. They've got Power on the left side. They've got Bowen Byram on the left side. They've got Matias Samuelsson, who's a left shot defenseman as well. They've got a lot of good defensemen, all left-handed. So if I'm Buffalo, who doesn't want to just trade these guys for futures and nothing else, I want something right now. If I'm Kevin Adams, my response is, well, I want Filip Hronek.
Yeah.
That's how I would look at it personally.
Yeah, I think that would certainly fit the mold, right? I know people bring up Demko, but is Demko one of your top prospects, 15th overall, enough to get both those guys?
Maybe not. And
may,
And again, here's the other thing.
No, it's not, because Demko, the other part that would make sense for Buffalo with Filip Hronek is that he's committed. He's on a long-term contract. He doesn't have trade protection, so he doesn't have to waive anything to accept a trade to Buffalo, even though his no-move kicks in on July 1st. So that would, you know. Anyways, it wouldn't look great on the Canucks, but hey, it's cost of doing business, I guess, if you were to try and work something out like this. But he doesn't have trade protection right now. With Demko, like, Demko doesn't have a ton of value, because if he says, I don't want to sign in Buffalo, what does that make sense for? Plus, they've got Levi and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
And even given his uncertainty, is that the guy they're betting on that for? And the other thing to consider is, Frank mentioned that Chicago offered a third overall pick for Paterka, and they said no. So
that's crazy.
So, okay, again,
overall, you might get Michael Misa there, man.
based on what Frank said, right? Like, let's say, you know, so if they said no to the third overall pick, that should inform you what they're looking for. So when we go through these Vancouver packages, does Demko 15th overall and a prospect?
No.
For both those guys seem commensurate even to the third overall pick? It's probably worth more than the third, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that package is quite what would get it done.
Now, there's two things on the Canucks roster that might make sense more for Buffalo than the third overall pick, and that is either Elias Pettersson or Filip Hronek.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything else, really.
Well, the only
Maybe Volander.
Well, the only other thing that exists, and this is what I said, let's put a pin into the 15th overall talk here, and how that's not really getting you what you want, at least with Rossi, right? And we asked Frank about this, too. Every single team outside of some teams, and even, let's say Chicago offered the third overall pick, Utah's willing to move the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be getting any
anything, right? Anaheim's willing to offer the 10th overall pick. Like, these are all picks that are better than 15, by the way, just simple math.
And that doesn't seem to be getting, very good. Doesn't seem to be getting anything done, right?
Simple numbers. It's not even math.
Yeah, very good. So, I mean, I think that gets a lot of stuff done, right? This isn't getting anything done. And then you have a host of other teams willing to trade even later first round picks, but nobody seems to want those first round picks this year. And we asked Frank about this. Is a team willing to move next year's first round pick? Because that's what teams are looking for. Like, I think if Vancouver offered next year's first round pick, even with some protection, Minnesota would probably say yes to it. Because at least they have one more year to use the asset. The asset turns into a pick in a week, and that can either increase the value or decrease it. But usually it's like driving a car off the lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right away, the value goes down unless it's a really, really high pick, right? And it takes some time for a player that's been drafted for their value to, you know,
the
be worth more.
Yeah, prospect would have to have a really strong season.
Right. So it's a long-term investment, right? Like, potentially could be worth something. But in terms of being a trade asset, you don't know what it's going to be. But the first-round pick buys you time. In a better draft, even if you hold on to it, you might get another really good player, right?
You could have an extra pick to play with at the deadline next year, which, you know, gives you a lot more buying power.
And nobody wants to trade the 2026 picks.
No.
But does a team who's willing to move the 2026 pick get an advantage? And I'm not saying Vancouver's going to do this. I haven't even, you know, Vancouver says they don't want to trade the 2026 pick, right? Yeah. Like, we know they don't want to do that. But to the point of, what assets do you have? If you trade, say, the next year's first round pick, one of your top prospects, and say something else, does that all of a sudden become like a really good package? Is Vancouver willing to go that far?
That would be a really good package. There is no way the Canucks could even think about offering up their 2026 pick without some kind of protection.
Has to be top five or top three at the very least.
Top five, maybe even top 10.
Yeah. I don't know if you're the thing, though. If you go top 10, I think that diminishes the worth of the pick. Like, the idea of a top five protected pick is, even if you don't get a top five pick, but what if you get the sixth or seventh overall pick next year, or eighth overall pick next year? That would still be viewed as
in a good draft. Asset. That would still be a pretty good asset. I think that's, you know, you make a great point, and I think that's one of the things a team like Minnesota is probably okay. Like, if this goes, why July 1st in a potential offer sheet isn't really that much of a scare tactic for the Minnesota Wild? It's like, okay, well, if you sign Marco Rossi to an offer sheet that meets a certain criteria, we get an unprotected 2026 first-round pick from you next year. Because you can't protect that pick that gets transferred in an offer sheet. So, to me, Minnesota wouldn't say they'd welcome an offer sheet for Marco Rossi, but I don't think it's as scary as some might think. It is, considering they're willing to move on from the player for the right price. 15th overall on Friday doesn't move the needle for them, but a 2026 unprotected pick, it might in an offer sheet scenario. So those are definitely parts of this equation that are very interesting. And the trade market as a whole here, Sat, I was reading Eric Engel's piece on the Montreal Canadiens at sportsnet.ca and their pursuit of getting a top six talent to add to their group and looking for a second line center to put behind Nick Suzuki. And one of his takes was, well, the 16th and 17th picks, they don't have a ton of value right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you look around the league, there's a lot of teams looking to add to their group and are willing to use futures to add to their mm-hmm. group. And they're all running into the same problem that you're calling teams about their players, but that team also wants to add to their group, not subtract necessarily from yeah. their group. There's too many teams all that, like Elliot said on 32 Thoughts, there's 31 teams all trying to get better right now, and just one team that's swimming upstream, and that's the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. So they're the only seller right now in what is very much a market that there's a lot of buyers in the trade market.
Yeah, and that's why with Vancouver, how uncomfortable are you willing to get?
Yeah.
And if you want to get the Paterka types, perhaps mm-hmm. even the Byram types, the higher end players, you are going to have to part with something that makes you uncomfortable. You are going to part with something that you might come to regret. But you can't make deals that are significant without doing something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against you trading significant assets for young, high-end caliber players. Paterka fits that bill. Right now, there is still uncertainty around Paterka, but that's why he's available. You know, like,
yeah, Gordy Laca asks us on Twitter, like, is he Marian Hossa light?
I don't know if he's that.
He hasn't shown the defensive game to be considered a comp for Marian Hossa to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, maybe that's a Buffalo thing as a whole, because that whole team doesn't play with any sort of structure, or hasn't mm-hmm. really. So there's that. But, you know, Paterka's defensive profile doesn't meet especially what Hossa was for much of his career, and certainly towards the prime and latter stages of his career. Which yeah. is hard for a winger. Like, there's not a lot of guys like that.
No.
But Hossa was really special. Yeah,
he really was. Now, Paterka is young enough, and he does have enough two-way chops and projectables that it is exciting what he can become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there is a lot there to like, but he is not a center, ultimately. But I don't mind you going after, like, if they are able to get, let's say, a Paterka type of player, to me that significantly improves the forward group. Like, is Paterka an improvement on Besser? I think he has a potential to be a significantly more impactful player than Besser.
Mm-hmm.
With a bit more speed, two-way ability, younger, more control. I think there's a lot of things to kind of like. I think that makes you a better forward group with more potential. And I think it's a type of player that puts you on a path where, not that you can convince Quinn to stay, but you can look at it and say, hey, we added another potentially foundational forward to our group.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same about Rossi. There's a chance, but I don't feel as convinced about that. And there's certainly other players that have been rumors, like even Zegras. We yeah. haven't even talked about, like, that's not a guy I feel mm-hmm. like that about, has a chance. But I think Paterka is a guy that, okay, like, if you're paying a steep price, at least you feel like you're getting an answer long-term in your forward group.
And the other part of Byram as part of that deal and why Hronek would be a part of it, it's like, well, yeah, if you're adding Byram in a trade, now you're really loaded on defense. So you're going to have a surplus that you need to deal away from. And while you might have too many lefties, you'd have, in this scenario, you'd have Quinn Hughes, you'd have Bowen Byram, you'd have Marcus Pettersson, and DPD, Elias Pettersson. So there's four. Plus, you've got Mignot and Kudryavtsev as depth and coming, and Derek Forbert's been re-signed. So your depth chart on the left side would be pretty high, pretty deep. You'd have to move one of those left-sided guys to the right. And DPD's shown that he's adept at it. Bowen Byram can play it a little bit. You could probably situationally play Quinn Hughes and Bowen Byram together in that scenario. Plus, Byram would add, as other people have suggested, Byram would have at least appeal as insurance if Quinn Hughes decides to move on with his career. But Byram is going to be expensive. You have to give him a new contract as well. So, you know, there are a lot of, if you were to just go through the sheet and list out pros and cons to this whole thing, there's a lot of different things that you could look at that make sense, and some other things that would still feel a little bit funky about this. But this is going, I think more than anything, this conversation to me, what it should illuminate for you, the listener, is the cost of doing business is going to be uncomfortable for the Vancouver Canucks if they get, or if they want to get, or if they end up getting what they want. And that is a really high end player.
Yeah. And I think that's the price that I'm like, again, I'm okay with you spending that price on that type of
talent
and that type of cut. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, Rossi, if you have to spend anything more than the 15th overall pick, like I just don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like Minnesota wants more than the 15th, like significantly more than the 15th.
They don't value the 15th that much.
No. And if when you go beyond the 15th overall pick,
I don't think you can, like, look, I like Rossi. I think it makes sense for the Canucks to do that for the 15th overall pick. I don't want to give up much more than the 15th overall pick.
Well, yeah, and then, you know,
like if it's 15 and Willander, like, see you later. I'm hanging up the phone faster than you can believe.
Well, yeah, and even on the Byram front too, as much as, like, Byram's also awkward as a fit. Like, I wonder if it's a guy that they end up flipping.
Mm.
And if it's Quinn Insurance, I think you have to give Byram a long-term contract.
Yes.
You could give him a deal and then maybe trade him if you sign Quinn in a year. Mm-hmm. Perhaps, potentially, you have a guy, right? But it just seems awkward. The fit's not perfect. It's not ideal, right? Yeah. Like, the only way it makes sense, we're saying, is if you are moving a defenseman out, because then you have a spot for him. Because if you don't move a defenseman out, where are you playing all these guys?
Yeah.
You just don't have spots. You know what I mean? So somebody has to go somewhere. But even so, now we're talking about playing a left-handed guy on the right side. But they feel like DPD can do that. So there's, you know, a lot to like about him as far as that is concerned. But, you know, it creates more questions. And this whole idea of acquiring Quinn Hughes' insurance policy and committing to him before you even know what Quinn is doing seems a bit awkward process-wise to me.
It does. I guess you could say they kind of did something similar with Lankin and locking him in.
Yeah, no, it's they've done it. Yeah. You know, it's, but with him, at least, like, you signed him for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
We're talking about going out and acquiring somebody and paying a significant price to acquire him and somebody else.
Yeah, Byram's not costing less. He's costing about the same as Hronek does.
Yeah.
Maybe even a touch more.
I don't know if he depends
how long,
or no.
Hronek, depends how long the contract is.
Yeah, even so, I think Hronek has vastly outproduced him. I don't know if he gets that. But yeah, I mean, it gets interesting for Byram because he'll want big money, but he hasn't really shown he deserves huge money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 6.5, 7, but if he wants $8 million plus, like, God, he hasn't proven that.
Brandon says Byram would be so choked if he got traded to the Canucks and then flipped. I could imagine that, which, you know, this kind of feels like you go through this process, you go through these discussions, and it kind of feels a little too like NHL 25, like video gamey, like how many trades are you really going to make? So I would caution to that. But again, Frank did mention the Canucks talks with Buffalo regarding Paterka also included Byram. And to me, when I look at that, the player, the big piece, the centerpiece going back the other way would have to be Filip Hronek in that sort of an equation, because you know, it's going to cost a lot to get both Paterka and Byram. The big trade that was made today was Trevor Zegras, and what I do think is, okay, Philly's willing to take a chance on this guy, and they didn't have to pay much to get him, but that's kind of where the market is, where, like, you're going to have to take, unless you want to pay top price, you're going to have to be willing to take a chance on a guy, right? And Zegras, I know he's got his flaws as a player, but he was drafted in the top 10 for a reason by the Anaheim Ducks. I remember on draft day in 2019, I was kind of getting giddy as he was dropping down the draft board and could have almost fallen to the Vancouver Canucks at 10th overall in that draft. Obviously, it didn't happen. But what Briere said today, essentially on why he was available and the fact that his production went down, that's why he was available. Top six talents are very, very rarely available, and we felt that was worth the risk. To me, that's maybe where the Canucks need to be looking more, is for the players that you might have to take a risk on that just aren't going to cost as much, considering they don't have too many assets to give up.
And we do not know the nature of Vancouver's interest, if at all, if it was
in Zegras,
right? So we don't know, again, right? But, like, again, the Canucks could have made that trade. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have traded a better picks if they wanted to, better prospects to get Zegras if they really, really wanted to. So that shows you the level of, you know, interest. But if you have more assets, if you had, you know, a couple extra second round picks, does that change your level of pursuit for players like this, or the ability to go after guys like this? Ultimately, I'm not quite sure, mm-hmm. because as much as Zegras has a lot of potential, considering what Vancouver requires and what Vancouver is after, would they actually spend their capital on a project when this season, this upcoming season, is it's so important for them? You know, so I just kind of wonder if that fit made sense for Vancouver. But I love the acquisition for Philly. Like, considering the assets they have, cost them nothing, and you may as well roll the dice on a talented player.
Is he a Rick Tocchet player? Well, we're going to find out. Rick Tocchet's going to try and make him a Rick Tocchet type player. Quickly in the Canucks Central Roundup, Abbotsford Canucks are coming up against the Charlotte Checkers. Game 6, chance to win it tonight. Saturday was brilliant atmosphere. The anticipation in the building was palpable. Obviously, they couldn't get it done. It felt like they had all the momentum in overtime, but I chirped Jesse Puljujärvi so much that the hockey gods decided they were going to give him a break. And by that being two bounces off of a puck below the goal line that mm-hmm. ended up in the back of Abbotsford's net. So you can blame me. You can blame Dan Jinxio. Fast Eddie Gregory was also with me on the Puljujärvi jokes.
Puljujärvi is, yeah. I mean, we knew right away when Dameron Reed said it, and he did, like, he got 2 points that game. One was because Victor Mancini fell over, gave the puck to him, so he passed it over for a goal. And then the second one he got was a pinball off to Abbey Canucks for it to be a goal.
And to quote a text I sent, the KHL sounds pretty nice in December, January. Puljujärvi next
year. We'll see what happens. Brandon and Landon are going to have the call coming up. Brando and Lando with the call coming up after 4 o'clock from Charlotte. Hopefully the ice is good enough to play on. That's all you can ask for down in Charlotte this week. JanPro, from conference rooms to kitchenettes and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit JanPro.ca. Coming up, Abbotsford Canucks, their second chance at winning the Calder Cup. This time they try to do it on the road. Have not lost consecutive games at all in this postseason. They'll try to keep that streak going tonight and take ultimate glory in the AHL playoffs.
Get it done tonight so we don't need a game. I love game sevens, mm-hmm. but like I love Calder Cup trophy more.
We'd like to see them lift the Calder Cup and also focus more on the draft and everything else happening this week as well. It would be a win-win situation for everybody involved. It is Canuck Central, the game, Abbotsford and Charlotte next on Sportsnet 650.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.